back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
When you hear that music, you know it can only mean one thing, and that is it's time for Friday Forecast with the Kid here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. First of all, the Kid, happy birthday from all of us here at Cleveland Browns Daily, and of course all of our the listeners and our audience want to wish you a happy birthday. How was it yesterday?
You know, this is the last birthday I ever spend in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going somewhere warm next year. It was depressing as hell. I mean, it was negative 20 degrees. How exciting could it be?
What did you do? Did you get any nice gifts? Did you do anything fun? I've got something for you when I get back, which will be...
It's an Oprah picture.
I'm pretty sure you're going to be happy.
My daughters make me a chocolate cake with chocolate frosting. That was, other than spending it with my beautiful daughters and my beautiful wife, that was the highlight of my birthday.
Did you get to blow out any candles?
You know what? We didn't have any birthday candles, so we used some Shabbos candles.
Nice.
So I did get to blow out two candles. Yes.
Did you make a nice wish?
I did, although my youngest daughter, Liza, beat me to the punch and actually blew out one of the candles before I even got to make my wish.
Oh.
That's bad luck.
I don't know what that means. I don't think it means anything good.
As she said,
That's a grounding.
That is a grounding.
Whatever. It's all good. She doesn't listen much anyway, so.
Are you doing anything over the weekend as a celebration? Or are you just too disgusted by the cold that you're just throwing in the towel on your whole birthday experience?
I'm not real sure what's on the agenda for this weekend. You know, I haven't been brought up to speed yet.
Kid, you sound down in the dumps, my friend.
You do sound down in the dumps.
No, not at all. I'm very happy to be here. I'm sitting. It's actually a balmy 10 degrees, sunny. You know, you're just used to hearing me in studio. I'm feeling good. Sitting outside my apartment building right now, and, things are good.
Well, that's good, the Kid, because it's time now for the Friday Forecast.
Number one.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
Gibbs, I want you answering all these questions, too, today.
I will do my best. All right. How many of the quarterbacks that will be drafted this year will start on opening day 2015?
I think the answer is either one or two. One, if Marcus Mariota does not go to Philadelphia. If he goes to Philadelphia, I think two. I think if he goes anywhere else, he's going to have to take a year, a redshirt year, and the only starter will be Jameis Winston.
I think Jameis Winston's a lock, as you said, the Kid. I think Mariota could start in a lot of places. I think if he goes to Tennessee, he's going to beat out Zach Mettenberger. I think that if he ends up in New York, I think he probably would sit behind Geno Smith, at least initially. I think those are probably the two places that you see. But if he does go to Philly, I think he would start. I think if he came to Cleveland, it would probably be likely that he would start as well. So I'm going to say...
We don't want him in Cleveland.
No, I don't want him in Cleveland.
I agree.
I don't want him in Cleveland. I do think the over-under on that would be set at 1.5 in Las Vegas. And I would right now take the over because I do believe that Chip Kelly is going to do whatever he has to do to get Marcus Mariota.
That would be awesome.
It'd be great.
Sell the farm, baby. Pull a Mike Ditka. Mortgage it all. I'm going to go with one. I think Jameis Winston starts opening day. Outside of that, I don't have any faith in anybody else.
So you don't think that in your mind it is not likely that Chip Kelly goes and gets Mariota?
I think the asking price is ultimately going to be too much.
If he thinks he's his guy, though, the asking price couldn't be too high.
Well, what could he give, though? I mean, if he's so far down.
He's at 20. He'd have to give, like, probably first-round picks for multiple years.
I mean, you're literally talking either trading half of your draft this year or a couple first-rounders, both your first-rounders this year, a first-rounder next year, and maybe a second-rounder somewhere in there as well to move up.
If you have your franchise quarterback, though, then you don't worry about it.
But does that make you a playoff team? I don't know.
Well, I think it's a different argument. For the Browns, the answer is absolutely don't make the trade. I was talking more from
a Philly standpoint, yeah.
It definitely makes them a playoff team. I think they're a borderline playoff team without him.
But we don't even know if he can play in the league.
If he plays for Chip Kelly, he can play in the league.
Yes, and no question.
I don't know.
Even as Mike Mayock said, he's a project for 31 teams in the NFL. He needs development to play quarterback effectively for 31 teams in the NFL. There's one team that he will step right in and be awesome for, and that one team is certainly the Philadelphia Eagles.
Number two.
Question number two today, guys. Sam Bradford, RG3. Which one loses their starting role first?
I'm going to go with RG3 here. I was a huge RG3 fan when he first came in the league, but I think he's garbage now. As Nate likes to say, he's hot garbage. I think he loses his job first.
Gibbs, I was interrupted as there are a lot of people here at the combine.
You're
walking
a popular
around.
Guy. I heard it. I heard the mayor of the combine. Had
so
to
give me
away.
The question. It sounded like it was about RG3. What was the question?
Sam Bradford, RG3. Which one loses their starting role first?
I think from a performance standpoint, it would be RG3. You just wonder about Sam Bradford's ability to stay healthy. I think that, you know, you've heard a lot of commitment to him this week in Indianapolis from Jeff Fisher. I think RG3 can still play the game. I don't think that he is hot garbage. I think that
agree.
He can play. I think he's got some good pieces there. I think they're going to work with him. I think he's been humbled as well. I don't think either one of them is going to lose their starting job based on performance. I think that that the most likely situation is that Bradford just can't stay healthy because he's just shown an inability to stay healthy in the NFL.
I think Sam Bradford loses his gig first, and I feel like he's going to lose his gig first because he's going to get hurt again more than anything else.
Right.
I like RG3. I think
RG3 can play. You think it's done for him? I mean, you've got Deshaun Jackson. You've got Pierre Garçon. You got Jordan Reed.
He had him
Reed.
Last year.
Yeah, but you got to get an offensive line. And he's got – listen, he was learning a new offense again, and I think it's important to have a little continuity for him. Jay Gruden said that he believes in him.
I jump on people's bandwagon quick, and I jump off just as quick. I'm off.
Are you finally off the Dion Van Waiters bandwagon?
I am off it. I don't know if you were following me on Twitter yesterday, but I was really tired. I was hoping Gibbs would throw some NBA questions in here because I was really digging yesterday in the NBA. But I was listing him as one of the first round picks that did not pan out. All these people like applauding Philly for getting more picks and giving up more players. I know you're an analytics guy, but you know anybody that's an anti-analytics guy, this guy in Philly is off his rocker.
He is a little bit. I think it is an interesting strategy to say the least. What's going on in Philadelphia? They might have a team of five first-round pick centers pretty soon.
Hey, meanwhile, Phoenix is just trying to suck. We'll get to that here in a little bit.
And what about the Heat, though? You make this trade and give up a lot, and then now Chris Bosh, it looks like, might not be able to play for you for the rest of the year.
And I'm going to argue with you there. What did they give up? They gave up two first-round picks. Look at the first-round picks in the NBA. First-round picks in the NBA, particularly when they're in the second half of the first round.
Didn't they give up Norris Cole?
Oh, Norris Cole. You could have got him for a bag of donuts.
Come on, dude. Don't knock the CSU grad.
Granger, Cleveland State's Norris Cole.
I think Norris Cole would help the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Absolutely. But, I mean, when you're talking about getting Goran Dragic, or however you say his name, that guy's a frontline starter.
All right, so here's my question with all that. So the guy's unhappy because Phoenix drafts Isaiah Thomas. And he wants out, and then he announces he wants out. So he kind of screws over Phoenix because Phoenix isn't going to get max value for the guy. So they end up working a trade for him, and then they turn around and trade Isaiah Thomas. What the hell are they thinking?
Well, I think
you just traded both guys.
I didn't really know this going in because I haven't really followed much of the Milwaukee Bucks this year, but I think that Brandon Knight is actually having a statistically, for all you analytics folks out there, statistically is having a better year than Dragic, so they brought him back. And don't forget, they have Eric Bledsoe, who's just a flat-out stud.
But, like, Knight, I think Knight is a free agent at the end of the year.
He is.
And there's no guarantee he's going to resign. And if you're Knight, why would you want to resign with that dysfunctional organization?
Yeah, nobody knows what's going on over there.
Number three.
We'll continue this NBA talk. Question number three today. Oscars are on Sunday. I know you guys don't care about it. Greatest sports movie.
No question about it, Hoosiers. Plain and simple, I'll watch that movie anytime, any day, and I'm fired up. Run me the picket fence, and I'll dunk over somebody.
The kid, I will run you the picket fence, and you will not dunk over anybody.
Like I said, my opinions don't always come true.
So, I mean, a movie about golf is a sports movie, yes?
Yes,
no.
It is.
Yeah.
Then there's no question the greatest sports movie of all time is Caddyshack.
Fair.
Well, I put that more in the comedy category, and you're right. Caddyshack and Hoosiers are probably one, you know, in my top five of movies overall, but
all right,
I put that more in comedy.
It is, but it's about golf.
It is. It is.
All right, so I won't call it a sports movie. If you're talking, team.
You can.
All right, I'll go. I would go, and this is amazing, and this is true despite the fact that I did not grow up in Cleveland. I think Major League is as good as it gets.
That was my choice.
I go with Major League. I remember when the World Series, the Bay Bridge World Series, 1989. And by the way, if you haven't seen the 30 for 30 about the Earthquake World Series, it's awesome. Great, well done. And as somebody who kind of like, you know, lived through it in the Bay Area at that time, it really kind of captures what was going on in the mindset with Oakland and San Francisco and everything. So it's very well done. But I remember that. And then, of course, they canceled the World Series for, I think it was over a week, maybe 2 weeks. And school was canceled for us for a while, and I was really bummed out that there wasn't the World Series. It was the A's and the Giants, and, you know, my dad and mom were born in San Francisco. I was on the East Bay, so we had A's season tickets. So it was really cool just for us for it to be the Bay Bridge Series. And I remember I rented Major League back when you would go to a Blockbuster, for those of you who remember those days. And I rented Major League, and I watched Major League for basically every day for that week because I liked it so much, and it was a baseball movie. And I think Major League's is, to me, as good as it gets. There are other ones that kind of popped into my head briefly in and out. Hoosiers is obviously a very good movie. But Major League's got it all. It's got comedy. It's got everything
it's got a
you want.
Drama.
A little drama, a little bit of a romance relationship in there. You know, the 200-meter individual medley. A lot of stuff to go with in there. Charlie Sheen at his finest.
Ibsy, let me ask you a question. Does it surprise you at all that Nate, growing up in that area, chose to root for the San Francisco 49ers, who were Super Bowl champions.
How you doing, Pat?
And the Oakland A's at the same time. I mean, pick a city, pal. Let's go.
Hey, Monfrere, let me tell you something. The Oakland Raiders were in Los Angeles when I was a kid.
Oh, let facts get in the way of a good argument.
Exactly.
So there it is. So my parents were both from the city. So my dad would have preferred me to be a Giants fan, but we got season tickets to the A's in 1987. Because it was close to where we lived on the East Bay in Hayward.
A couple guys named the Bash Brothers. Canseco
was the rookie of the year in 86. McGuire was the rookie of the year in 87. Walt Weiss was the rookie of the year in 88. And the A's happened to go to three straight World Series, 88, 89, and 90. It just was kind of good timing for me.
Of course.
Convenient, isn't it, kid?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, you and I were crying with the brownies.
I was going to say I was watching the drive in person.
As was I.
Yeah, fantastic. Question number four. Let's go racing. A little Daytona 500 this weekend. Yay or nay, if you were offered tickets, would you go?
Well, right now I go to Daytona because it's in Florida and it's a lot warmer than here. But, no, I've been to a car race in person, and to me, there's nothing stupider in the world than watching cars go in a circle and blow out my eardrums at the same time.
If I were ever to watch a car race, I think I'd be more inclined to go to, like, Monte Carlo and watch like a Formula One race where they're racing through the streets and it's awesome looking and you're in Monte Carlo. Otherwise, I don't think I'm going to the Daytona 500.
Dude, it's a hell of a party.
I could party.
I
could just go to Vegas if I wanted to party.
It's not like that.
It's probably why I'd rather be in Vegas.
Dude, you bring your own cooler in. Set up shop.
Fun.
Come on now.
Oh, that's fun. Now I'm sold. Now I'm sold, Gibbs.
It's an all day party.
BYOB. Like, I'd much rather go of, like, an event that I've never been to of that kind that's a quote-unquote party event. I'd much rather go to the Kentucky Derby once.
Oh, that is tremendous.
First of all,
you can wager, but I've been there, and that, talk about a party, Jim.
I have heard the infield party is something to behold.
That's something that I would like to do. I really don't have any interest in the Daytona 500. By the way, the kid, I think you should get in your car right now. You could still get here in time. Me and Andrew Sims going to St. Elmo's tonight.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I'm going to have the shrimp cocktail. And by the way, they have a 32-ounce bone-in prime rib on the menu every day, and I'm going to eat that. And it is going to be glorious.
I think that's what the Grizz and I tackled when we were there. But the menu's so great. It's basically like four pieces of meat, and that's it. They don't pretend to have anything else. You want something else, go next door. You want a steak, sit down and eat.
and I will sit down and eat. It's going to be epic.
Give Simsy my regards. How are his guys doing in the combine?
I think they're just getting underway right now, but he was pretty optimistic about it and feeling good. And he's going to have, you know, he's got one of the hottest free agents in the National Football League, Devin McCourty. So I think that's taken up a lot of his time. And also Steve Ridley will be looking for a new address, I would imagine.
And he's the hottest agent in the NFL, from my sources tell me.
Wow. That's right. Oh, the kid.
That's it. That's it for the Friday forecast today, boys.
It was beautiful. It was glorious.
Zakara,
this is my Friday forecast question. I will be out on the town tonight. Yeah, we're gonna get after it a little bit. We're gonna get out on the town, then watch the quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers tomorrow before I drive back to Cleveland. My question is this to you: as we sit here, and it's even hard to contemplate what I'm about to ask being a possibility, but as we sit here today on February the 20th, what do you believe will be the first day that we are able to play golf in Cleveland?
Oh God,
March 30th.
March 30th?
Yep. You know, I'm a little optimistic sometimes. I'm going to say March 30th.
You think that's optimistic? Do you remember was it 2 years ago that we were playing? It was 80 degrees on St. Patrick's Day?
Yes.
I think it was maybe 3 years ago, because I think, I don't know how old M.G. Gottfried's son is. Was that?
No, you're right. It was 3 years ago, because 2 years ago we were in Florida.
Yeah, 2 years ago I was on a cripple.
Yeah.
On crutches.
You were on crutches.
What were you on crutches for?
Well, you know what, Gibbsy? I wish I had a good story for you, but I slipped on the ice walking my dog.
That sucks.
Be careful. Be careful, folks, with the ice. The ice is no joke.
The ice is not your friend.
No, look what happened to Vanilla Ice. He's going to jail.
Yes. Ice baby.
He already said he thought that they were throwing the stuff away. Come on.
Oh, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
Like Eddie Murphy.
By the way, here's
living in someone else's house.
Speaking of fun songs from, you know, the early 90s, Poison, you know, by Bell Biv DeVoe with the line, Rob Moore, you're dead. I was actually out with some with Sims, and he's got the Raiders quarterback coaches in his stable as he's becoming not only player's rep but coach's rep. And Rob Moore was there. The Rob Moore. And I asked him about Poison. He thought it was funny.
You know what?
I'm sure he's never gotten that before.
My music, I'm limited when it comes to music. You know that.
You are. You don't even know who
Snoop
Dogg is.
We need to broaden your horizons.
He doesn't even know who Snoop is. No. And think about how just
Snoop Dogg
you don't know anything about. Name one song that he sings.
I know LL Cool J sings I'm Bad.
Oh God!
I mean,
we got some work to do.
The kid, we got. I mean, the fact that you of all people in the world don't know a Snoop song is crazy.
I do enjoy
Gin
Snoop,
and juice.
Though. I love him when he's on Howard. He's a great interview. You know, he's a man he's a great man.
Great man. Got to thank a lot of people here today. Daniel Jeremiah, Adam Kaplan, Peter Schrager, of course, Dane Brugler for being with us. We're going to have more from the Combine, more interviews early next week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Stay warm, everybody. Stay inside. Stay safe. For Jason Gibbs, for the kid, happy birthday, kid. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys.